Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for Albert Breer on the official radio home of the Cleveland Browns. Sports Radio 92.3, The Fan.
All right, the buzz is growing. A lot of buzz right now. They keep seeing things saying Sam Darnold is going to be the number one guy, especially after the pro day. And this is we got to talk to Albert Breer, amongst other things, about. And Albert is now with us on the hotline. He wrote an article about Sam Darnold and what took place yesterday at the pro day. Albert, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Fantastic. Good to talk to you. You know, we're just going to read a part where you did a back and forth between a conversation yesterday. This is from Albert's article, and you can check it all out at mmqbsi.com. It said, USC staffer, hey, guys, the weather patterns show that it's going to start raining right when we get ready to throw. So we're going to move everything around and have you throw before it rains and then have the O-line, D-line work out in the rain. Darnold then said, why are we doing that? The USC staffer said, well, so you don't have to throw in the rain. Darnold, looking at Jordan Palmer, his quarterback coach, no, we'll just throw in the rain, right? Palmer, yeah. Darnold, perfect. I don't care if it rains. I'm trying to go to Cleveland. Albert, was it comments like this? I mean, this is a pretty cool
back and forth.
It's great that you had it. Is it comments like this? Is it something he did on the field? Is it really a pro day, though, ultimately, that puts him over the top here?
I got you guys a little excited, didn't it? I'll tell you what. Like, and I feel like I've said this to you guys a couple times over the last month, 2 months. There's just something about him, you know, that it really, you know, it's just the way he carries himself, the way he interacts with people, the way he leads, the way he performs under pressure, the way he carries himself, it just screams franchise quarterback, you know? And I think he has that more so than any of the other guys in this year's draft. And it's an intangible thing, but it's the sort of thing that shows up in this setting. You know, and remember, as far as their in-person exposure to this player, John Dorsey, Hugh Jackson, you know, Jimmy Haslam, they've seen him, but have they seen him in this sort of setting before and in this sort of stage before, where every team in the league is sitting there in the stands and evaluating him, and all the eyes in the building, you know, with his draft position on the line, everyone's looking at him, and it's pouring rain, and you know, it's one of those things where I don't think it's so much like, you know, you're evaluating how good how good he makes this throw or that throw, and that's part of it, but I think it's more about like just seeing the guy in person, seeing him lead his teammates around, seeing him interact with people, and seeing the way he carries himself in that sort of setting. And I've always felt like that's where Darnold, and this is obviously based on what I've heard from people who've been around all these guys, but I've just always felt like that's where Darnold's advantage has been over the other guys. And I think that was absolutely on display yesterday. And so it's not so much determining whether or not the guy can play quarterback in the NFL and how good a quarterback he's going to be for the next 10 years between the lines. I think a lot of it yesterday and a lot of it during this process is figuring out who the guy is as a person and who the guy would be as the face of the franchise. And that little nug is one piece of, you know, where I think you can see that he's very, very suited for that role.
Albert Breer is with us from the MMQB. Albert, another line, a little bit further down the article, you have a text, right, from an AFC executive. It came from L.A., and he said this, quote, he's going number one, end quote. Another text, everyone out there today saw the Browns franchise quarterback, end quote. That's another text, too. Do you believe that is the Browns franchise quarterback based off what that AFC scout's saying? Or executive,
it's
I should say.
It's not based on him. It's based on what a lot of people in the league are saying. Uh-huh. You know, only Hugh and John Dorsey and Jimmy Haslam, but those guys are the only ones that really know where the team is at right now, you know. But what I can tell you is that perception has certainly grown across the league to the point where it feels like, you know, most people think that that's absolutely what's going to happen, and that now the draft starts at 2 with the Giants and what they do with their pick. And yeah. So, I mean, look, we still got a month to go. You know, there's still a month for the other quarterbacks to do what they can to impress the Browns. But, you know, I felt like in January when we went into this process that Sam Darnold was the leader in the clubhouse to be the number one overall pick. And I think he's got a bigger lead now than he did then.
I guess the only thing that confuses me, Albert, is it seems like they still got a lot of work to do because they're just this week meeting right. with all these guys. And so I find it hard to believe that the decision's been made already. But I know you're not saying that.
I want you guys to get me wrong. Like, I'm not saying the decision's right. been made. I'm just saying there's that perception out there
yeah.
that, you know, this isn't like Andrew Luck in 2012. I don't want a position like that where, I mean, from the day the college season ended and the day the Colts got the number one pick, we all knew, right? Like, I don't think there was any question in 2012 that Andrew Luck was going to wind up being the number one pick. Even in 2015, it sort of felt like Winston was going to be the number one pick to the Bucs, and then, you know, we'd go from there, and some people would like Mariota, other people wouldn't. And I don't think the gap's as big as it was in those 2 years. But, you know, again, the way I just position this is I think he's got a bigger lead over the field now than he did 2 months ago. And that doesn't mean the other guys can't make it up because this thing was close to begin with. And each of these guys have warts, Darnold included. But I just think that this process sort of, I think, shines a light on, again, that advantage that Sam had over everybody else you know, at the beginning of this process, which is when John Dorsey and Hugh Jackson sit down with Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen and Josh Allen and Baker Mayfield, they're looking across the table and they're asking themselves a question implicitly: do I feel comfortable tying my livelihood to this guy? Do I feel comfortable tying my job security to this guy? And there's so much that goes into that. You know, it's not just how well he plays, it's how he carries himself, it's how he represents the franchise, it's how he affects his teammates, it's all that different stuff. And so, you know, we talk about, like, how, you know, what they do at the combine and the physical testing and then throwing at the pro day and all that different stuff. I mean, more than anything else, you know, the important pieces of the process, and Dustin, you went through this.
Yeah.
The most important pieces of the process from the beginning of January to the end of April are the medical and then the interview.
Yeah, meeting the kid.
Finding out what's wrong. Is them finding out if there's anything wrong with you physically, because that can certainly affect you, and we've seen that with guys. And then it's, you know, like, how do you come off to them? How do you impress them as people? How comfortable do they feel with you? And with quarterbacks, it's even on another level, because you're really going to be putting this guy out front as sort of the face and the face of your franchise, the guy that, like, not only are you going to build around, but the guy that's kind of going to be the representative of what you are as a franchise, you know, to your city, to your region, and all that. And I've always felt like that was sort of Sam's advantage over the other guy, is that he's more ready for that than the other guys are.
Albert Breer is with us, MMQB. He's got a great piece up on SI.com, MMQB.com. Sam Darnold to the Browns at number one. The buzz is growing. Another thing, you talk about that, just to kind of piggyback it, you know, Jimmy Haslam's there. He's the owner. He's in the stands. He's got a notebook. It's raining on Jimmy. And the workout's great, right? I mean, as Jordan says, the workout should suffice for any team that's looking at Darnold for number one. But really, that dinner they had the previous night, sitting down with him and chatting with him, and Jimmy being there too. I'm not saying Jimmy's going to have a huge role in this, but he is the owner. And if you're John mm-hmm. Dorsey, you want him to sign off on it to some degree, right?
Yeah, and I don't think there's any question. Like, part of this is, you know, like, there's a business element to it too. You know, like it is, you know, that's what Jimmy's going to be valued. That's what every owner is evaluating. That's what Jeffrey Lurie, who was on these trips 2 years ago. And, you know, like, part of it, and I've talked to Jeffrey about this, and, you know, I know part of it for him was, like, how easy and how natural Carson Wentz was with them, you know, and how it felt like how comfortable he made everybody feel. And I remember Lurie saying, like, that, you know, like how comfortable he made everybody at the table feel. You could sort of feel how he could, like, that would permeate through a locker room. How, like, that would be, like, the sort of, you know, because everybody's watching how he's reacting to things. man, if you guys would give me a minute here, I'll give you another great thing that kind of got left in the cutting room floor when I was doing the story yesterday.
Yeah.
From Jordan Palmer, if you guys want to hear this.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so I asked Jordan, I just said, this is about, I think this plays into like the idea of sitting across the table from an NFL owner, right? And so I asked Jordan, I was like, you know, you've known the kid for a while. Like, what really sticks out to you? And, you know, he mentioned that he'd known Hugh since he was an eighth grader because Hugh recruited his brother to USC. And so here's what he said. I'm pulling it up here. He genuinely processes pressure in a unique way. It's not the same as Deshaun Watson. Now Jordan had Deshaun last year. Said Deshaun feels pressure and he gets more focused and more excited about the opportunity to have a good outcome. Whereas Sam just doesn't feel it. He doesn't notice it. He doesn't see it the same way others do. Rose Bowl, Penn State, it kind of takes credit away from him, but I was talking to him the day of the game and then after the game, and he just kept saying how rad it was and how it was really cool and it was going to be so fun and I'm so stoked to play in L.A. It wasn't, oh, my God, they're pass rushing. How many people are going to watch this game? He just doesn't process it the same way. It's a naivety that's very powerful, and he's not going to grow out of it. It's not a young thing. Old guys get that when they've seen it 1,000 times. So he's ready. He's 20, but he's ready. He doesn't really feel pressure. I've only been around a couple people like that. I feel pressure, and I'm not saying that he's got ice water in his veins, even though he totally does. He just genuinely doesn't process pressure the same way as normal people. I can come from a place where I've spent 1,000 hours on the sports psychology side, and a lot of people spend a lot of money learning how to compartmentalize pressure, how to separate it. And Sanchez doesn't understand how people need to do that. It's not a big deal to him.
Yeah. I mean, listen, everything sounds good.
So that's the sort of thing.
Yeah.
Guys. Like that's right. The sort of thing. Like, it's just, when I tell you this, like, it's like, and this is going to sound corny, but it's like, you have to feel like the guy's a franchise quarterback. you know what I mean? Like, when you're around a Peyton Manning or around a Tom Brady or around I think based on like everything that I've dug into with each of these guys over the last 6-7 months of trying to, you know, report on them and figure out who they are. It just feels like Sam really fits that. Yeah. You know, like Jimmy is going to be proud. Jimmy Haslam, like, and to bring it back to the whole thing about having dinner with him, Jimmy Haslam is going to feel good about putting him out front of the franchise and feel good about putting him on billboards and feel good about selling him as the reason why fans should buy season tickets. All that sort of stuff.
I just hope that matters too, Albert. I just hope they don't pass. If they don't pass on Baker Mayfield and Josh Rosen, who end up being if they do end up being better players, well, just because one guy was safer,
it's a risk.
Yeah.
No. I'm not saying it's not a risk because each of these guys have their flaws, and you know, certainly the personality thing, that actually is important too. You know, I'll tell you guys another story. There was a team that did a study at the combine. And the coach actually, kind of snuck into the press conferences because he wanted to watch each of the quarterbacks, go through the press conferences. And his whole thing was him and the GM had done a study, and they looked at, I think it was however many different quarterbacks in their press conferences. And he said, it was interesting, he said, we really couldn't find very many examples of successful quarterbacks who you were nervous when they went up to the podium. And it seems like a small thing, you know what I mean? Like, but his whole point was there aren't very many guys where, you see them, they become successful quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And you're nervous about how they're going to carry themselves in public. You're nervous about the way that they are. And, so I just thought that was a really – this is a successful team. I thought it was just a really, really interesting way of looking at it. You know what I mean? Because it is – like personality, like you can get past some of that, but especially at that position, it does matter. And that's why, some teams are a little jittery about Rosen and some teams are a little jittery about Mayfield, even though those guys were wildly successful as college players.
Albert, fascinating stuff. Great job with the article. It's a great read. We appreciate the time as always.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Albert, for your...
No, it's all
beautiful. Great
information.
We appreciate it.
Thanks for jumping on, buddy.
All right, guys.
Albert Breer, MMQB, great stuff. Make sure you check out his article from today. When we come back, we'll talk about what Albert said. Are you buying that Sam Darnold is the guy? And, it's almost starting to seem like a foregone conclusion with still 5 weeks. The draft is 5 weeks from today. That's all coming up next right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.